Blog Talk Radio.
And my drum, and I think AK in Baltimore is playing her instruments as well. Aren't you, AK?
I don't know. I feel like I need like some sort of crazy like electric xylophone or something to go along with that I'm not equipped with.
I think next week, you know what? Next week, and not this coming weekend, but the following, when we're in New York City, I think we should be walking down the New York City streets with the walk dancer guy, Ben Aaron, from the news station, and walk dance to Social Geek Radio theme song.
Sure.
See? Beanie caps and all. We can do that.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that idea. So let's talk about that for a minute. Remind everybody that we will be in New York on October 21st to do our Charity Miles walk, where we'll use our Charity Miles app and we'll walk down the Tasty Delight in Times Square to Central Park. Is that the plan?
That's the plan, and I'm going to map out some fun things to... I think most of the people that are going to be walking with us have been to New York before, but we are going to have some folks from Texas. So Liz Anderson and her family from E.H. Anderson in Waco, Texas, is going to be in New York City walking with us. They are meeting a friend from Paris that will be walking with us. And then we've got some folks from New Jersey and Connecticut that'll join us. So I think what we'll try to do is put together this, you know, plan of, stop and see this. And our Twitter friends have been really kind, like Greg Pickoff from New York has mentioned some things that we should definitely go by and see. So we'll have a walking path and some fun as we are doing this Charity Miles and eating Tasty Delight and walking through the city. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool, I'm excited. So, Ms. Deb, what are you working on in the meantime?
Well, let's see. So before the Charity Miles walk, I'll arrive in Newark Airport, but going to visit with some friends, the Engage One-to-One team, Jack Munson, who's been on our show before, and Jenny McDonald, and take the tour of their building and meet everybody in person, though I think I've met the whole entire team, then meeting and then having a meetup that evening with some franchise friends in the Norwalk, Connecticut area. So anybody that's in that area, whether you're in franchising or not, should connect with me and come on out to the Norwalk Inn and Conference Center. It looks like a lovely place, and I think the weather should be great, the foliage and everything. Working on that. But I'm also working with a new startup franchise. It's a business out of that Norwalk, Connecticut area called PALS Built, P-A-L-S Built, and it stands for Practical Assisted Living Structures. They've had this business going for quite some time and now franchising it. What's really interesting is the CEO is a blogger. She knows social media like you wouldn't believe. She's been on Fox News many times. It's Allison Rhodes Jacobson. She is also the safety mom. So anybody that knows the safety mom is in that industry of education will know Allison and see her sites both on Facebook and Twitter. And so I will get to spend some time with her next week. So it's really fun. And it's really fun working with a franchise startup and getting them going from the very beginning to actually franchising.
Cool. That is very exciting.
It is very exciting. Now, our guest tonight just happens to be meeting me in Newark and Connecticut and going to be tagging along as we see the Engage One-to-One folks and Subway. But I don't think we can talk BJ into staying for our Charity Miles walk.
Yeah.
So he has another commitment. So I think we should we release BJ and let him come out of the green room and join us?
Yes, sure.
Okay, BJ, you're live on the air.
Oh, sorry.
Such a radio.
Sorry, I was just enjoying my time here in the green room listening to your chatter there. I'm pretty sure that song doesn't have any guitars in it there, Deb.
What's
so
that?
The air guitar, there's no guitars. No.
I can play it. I can take a picture.
Nope. Yeah, so thanks for having me. Good to be here. Glad to be back on Social Geek Radio. Been a while.
Yeah. Have you been on since our 100th show? Yes, you were on not too long ago, I believe. But it's been a while.
It has been a while.
It's been a while. So we're going to talk about The Tasty Way, that fabulous pink book that we all have sitting at our desk that AK decided to spend a Saturday night when she could be wining and dining with Jeffrey. She read that book from cover to cover.
Yep.
And not only did she read it, she tweeted about it.
That's my new favorite pastime.
Yes, I was quite impressed by that feat. And she was going late into the night, and I said, sorry, I know how it ends. I know how it ends, so I'm going to have to leave you. So she finished it in the morning, though. I was very impressed with that effort, and so I greatly appreciated. And so we have that linked on our blog, thetastylightway.com, so that can be followed on there. But it's on your Storify account, is that right?
Yeah, it's on my Storify, but if you go to bit.ly/tastyway, that's the easier link to get to the Storify.
Oh.
Yeah, bit.ly/tastyway, TASTIWAY. So, yeah, it's actually, it takes a really long time to read and tweet at the same time. So I actually have done another reading, tweeting feat since then, and I realized that what I would do is I would read and highlight and put little flags on the pages, and maybe after every three chapters that I can crank through, then I would go and tweet them. So I'm not actually reading and tweeting simultaneously, so it doesn't take twice as long. But yeah, it was really fun. Yeah, and I feel like I really got to absorb more of the book that way because I was actually, you know, thinking about the key points and then writing them down so they're ingrained in my brain. So I highly recommend anybody to, whether you tweet it to the public or whether you sort of just think about the book in bits of 140-character key points, I think it was a really good way to gain the information.
I think you started a new trend here. It'd be the Twitter cliff notes of a book.
Yeah, I'm just on it now. I need to figure out how to make money off of it.
That's a million-dollar question for most of everything we do. So should we play, and BJ, you did this several years ago with, and I'll do this again. I'll forget his name. Mike? Was it Mike that you know? You did What the Tweet. You did video, and I loved watching you guys do that. It just cracked me up. It was, with Schneider Mike, right?
Schneider Mike, yeah.
Yes. Ha-ha, I remember that. So it's not quite the same doing it tonight, but I think, AK, what we should do is take those tweets and then ask BJ to explain those topics that you covered in your tweets.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds great.
All right, AK, you ready? Who's going to go first?
You want me to go first?
Sure.
All right, I'm tweeting. All right.
She's
tweeting. Instead of my store, but all right, let's see what we've got here. All right, the first quote is, social media helps businesses by establishing and supporting a foundation of trust in order to foster customer loyalty. Please explain, BJ.
Explain that tweet.
Right. So I think that was out of chapter one, according to your timeline here, I think. And, so chapter one. Yeah, so I mean, and that really kind of covers part of the title of chapter one is Introduction to a Tasty Story, and that really kind of lays a foundation of you know, what we wanted to cover in the book and why, give a little background and context to the Tasty Delight story, and then kind of lay out, you know, kind of our approach to social media. So we not only cover, you know, the why, but I think a lot of businesses, I think a lot of marketers and people in the C-suite, I think we're beyond the why, right? You know, why should we do this?
Mm-hmm.
So we did cover that a little bit, but then, you know, then we had to get into the how. And so I think, and as we'll talk about, there are plenty of kind of how examples in here and really how we laid out some of our strategies and just our approach as how it unfolded now starting almost 5 years ago. And that's really what the book covers is, you know, kind of our journey through, you know, these online communities and engaging with our, you know, fanatical fan base. And then, you know, just kind of going from there and seeing how things kind of went along as we progressed in our social strategy. And really that was about engagement. So, I mean, the quote is simply, you know, kind of more of the how, but then we get into the why. We move more into the why.
That was great. Thank you. Well, one of my favorite quotes came out of chapter one, and I think it's still sort of part of the why, but leads into why you have to think about the how. I don't know if that makes sense at all. But the quote was, many businesses now have two doors. There's a physical door and a cyber door, and you must give them an experience physically and virtually. I think that's a really strong 140-character mm-hmm. quote.
Yeah, so a little background, I think a lot of this, you know, there's a lot of books that are written by either, you know, social media experts or some kind of agency people or, you know, whatever. This, from my understanding, is the first really from a brand's perspective and kind of showing some of the behind the scenes kind of stuff that goes on, what goes into this. And we talk a lot about culture and brand stewardship and that sort of thing as well. But that quote actually came right out of Jim's mouth. I say that to, you know, just reiterate that you really need support from the C-suite. You really need someone who's got the vision, someone who gets it, that is in a position to, you know, support it, put budget dollars against it, and help drive adoption into the enterprise. So a little background on that quote there.
You sounded like you were
going to
say something.
I was, and I'm trying to figure out how to word this. So, he left us breathless. I know that the history and the, you know, how social, or a little bit about how the social technology really started with Tasty Delight. And BJ, you really are the mastermind behind that. So, when you talk about Jim being supportive of this, can you tell the audience a little bit about, you know, let's step back for a minute and, you know, how did it become part of the culture at Tasty Delight? I mean, to me, you were always the geek that was behind that Batcave closed techie door, and they let you out. And when they let you out, this is what happened.
Well, yeah, even like I said, about 5 years ago, Jim kind of saw all this coming and, you know, saw what was happening online, you know, and he knew enough about the Tasty Delight you know, what customers had built, regardless of anything that was done at any kind of corporate office, he knew that, you know, what was coming online. And really I was the IT guy. I was just, I did my thing and I dealt with servers and email and phone systems and, you know, things like that. I had some web development background. I had some SEO background. So I was really the closest thing to any kind of anything really online that we had at the time. And so really coming out of the server closet one day, probably working on, you know, who knows what, they said, hey, you know, we really need to start looking at the blogging thing, what's happening online. And I started doing research. And really my first email to the group was like, you're not going to believe what is being said online about Tasty Delight. Because there's just a ton of great content. I mean, we had a guy create an entire blog site reviewing all of our flavors. He would go to Tasty Delight. He would get a flavor, and he would go home and he would blog about it. He would take pictures, and he had a 4-star rating system so he had a really creative blog going on there, and there was no representation from us at that point, and I call that social negligence. So that's what we refer to in the book as social negligence, when, you know, all the customers are engaging around your brand, your product, your service, your industry, and you're not there. And so I think people are starting to, smarten up a little bit about that. But, then they say, okay, we get that. We just don't know how to do it. So that's a little bit of background. And then, you know, from there, imparting all these insights that I'm kind of, you know, gleaning from the web, trying to get that and impart that into the rest of the organization has been, my kind of job. So, how many of those folks are going to get on to Twitter and actually use that on a regular basis? But what we want to try to do is, you know, again, empower franchisees at the local level to do that, which I'm sure we'll get into here if we have time. But so I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. It does. And then so that ties into the quote that AK has here. Where did I see it? If marketing is about influencing customer choice, then it needs to start with connecting, conversing, and building trust.
Right. Yep. So I think that, nowadays, as we know, it all starts with content, right? So you have to have some good content out there to even start the conversations, to even get to the point where you're building trust and a relationship and kind of trying to drive, everybody wants, transactions. They're all trying to get to the transactions at the end of the process here. But I think that if you take a little different approach, you know, starting out with some great compelling content, you're going to start conversations around and then building trust over time, and you have those relationships, you'll be top of mind, which ultimately drive loyalty and then really lifetime value of the customer type of approach, looking at a long-term thing. But it takes a lot of investment and a lot of time and energy to do that, and a content strategy. Fortunately for us, we have a ton of great content. What we haven't mentioned here is our just almost a year ago now, acquisition of Planet Smoothie. So a smoothie chain, 100 locations that we've now added kind of as another chain. And so we started managing those feeds and those communities as well, which has been really interesting. So, we get to interact with a lot of customers of both chains.
Is there a Twitter handle for the Planet Smoothie? I have to go back and see if I'm following.
Yeah, it's just @
Shame
Planet
on
Smoothie.
Me. Yeah. Oh, shame on me. I'll have to go back and look.
Okay, yep, I have a quote here that was a very specific point in the book, and I even noted on my quote here that it was something worth remembering because it was something that I had never thought about. So it's very specific, but if you could just talk about it for a minute. And the quote is, researching what apps people are using to tweet about your brand can speak volumes about your customer. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. And actually, Twitter has actually changed this a little bit. And so, again, the IT guy, we like to measure stuff, and I'll use the word stalking. We're pretty good at listening, and I can, we have a lot of hacks that we do. We don't have the learning curve around, learning some of these technologies. We're pretty natural at these kind of things. So, I mean, there's some other challenges that we face as IT people to get into this, but once you get into it, there are some real benefits of having IT people involved in your social strategy. So anyway, on this one, again, it used to be if you go onto Twitter, you can see that if a mobile application or another application has initiated or generated that tweet. In other words, someone took a mobile app that's maybe not necessarily public by default, but they enabled that connection to Twitter and pushed it to Twitter, then you could see within that tweet, you could kind of drill down and see what application actually generated that, you know, that initiated or generated that tweet. Now, they've since removed that. But you can still, that's one of the things about writing a technology book, things change by the time it gets published. And so, but you can still go on Twitter, and if you have any kind of discernment, you can obviously see things, you know, especially now that there's things like Instagram pictures, you can look at the URL, if there's a link, you can look at the shortener, you can figure out if it came from Hootsuite, for example. Certainly things like Instagram, Foursquare, there's still a ton of apps that are pushing things to Twitter that you can see what it is that they're using. So then you can figure out, okay, what kind of devices are they using, what kind of apps are they using, how are they, you know, how are they interacting with these devices or with Twitter. And again, well, once they make it public, as far as I'm concerned, it's fair game. Okay, now you need, really need to know your customer before you start getting getting creepy on them. But if you know them well enough, you're going to be able to kind of push that envelope and kind of and we have there's a, I like to say there's a you know a fine line between creepy and creative customer service, and there's a gray area there that I've fully explored. I think for both brands, and so I know where that is for our particular customers, and. So that's kind of where that came from.
Very good. Thank you.
My turn?
Well,
yeah. Go for Deb.
Go for Deb. Okay. Well, we and I'm watching the chat to see if we got any questions. Love to hear your position on outsourcing. The listening and the engagement and the messaging. And I think you cover that in one of your chapters, which I can't find right now, but I remember reading about that. You know, so many brands want to outsource this, their social media, but I don't believe that you guys do at all.
Well, so it's chapter 8, and it's called You Can't Outsource Relationships. And I'm sorry, chapter 6. And so, yeah, I think well, we play both sides of it in the book, and we kind of go through the pros and cons actually in some detail of you know using an agency versus doing everything in house, and then you know what the benefits are, potential risks are of each. So we do kind of go through that in some detail, and we know some agencies that you know do things very well, and they. But they really have to embed themselves in the brand, in the culture, to really, if they're gonna be your voice at all, they really got to know your product or your service, you know, in order to be able to do that effectively. So, but there are many that are doing it effectively, and certainly we know some we've partnered with over time. We do have examples in the book of ones that franchisees are still working with. And then I work with them very closely, and they end up, you know, just being an extension. But overall, yeah, in general, as much as you can, I think in today's environment, the more social friendly you can make your enterprise by bringing these things in-house, you may have someone in the accounting department that is really good at this. And maybe that becomes part of their, you know, job. If they have the passion to do it and they want to expend the discretionary energy to do it, why not? It could come out of literally any department in your enterprise, and you wouldn't know that unless you kind of, you know, poked around a little bit and found out.
Mm-hmm. Totally, totally on board with that. I agree. So, AK.
Can we ask the question that is the title of our show?
I was going to. We need to get around to that one.
Yeah. I want to make sure we don't miss it. So.
Yeah.
The question is, and what's posed in the book, is are you a brand individual? So what, BJ, pray tell, does that mean?
Yeah, so, I mean, we have to ask the question, what is a brand individual?
Right.
And I think David Armano had a blog post that we reference in the book that kind of talks about that, and I'm not sure if he coined the term, but someone did at some point. And so I think we've seen this a lot more now. And I think there's two different views on this. And you see, you know, one that I used in the book as an example, you think of Ford, at least their online, their social presence, and you think of Scott Monty, right? And I know people have said, well, when I think of Tasty Delight, I think of, you know, they think of me. How do I feel about that? I don't know. You know, if I'm passionate about the brand, if I'm passionate about where I work and what I do, if I believe in the concept, and I'm you know, part of that voice of what we're, you know, putting online, you know, everybody at some point, they want to know, you know, who's behind the brand, you know, because that's really ultimately where the trust is going to, you know, where the trust is going to come from. So, yeah, I mean, you know, what is a brand individual? It's someone that, you know, perhaps represents a brand online and they just, you know, haven't really separated, you know, you know, it gets mixed, the personal and the professional. And is that, you know, is that a good thing? Recently, what was it? The tweet during the debate, that
Kitchen
someone,
Aid.
Yeah, KitchenAid, someone messed up,
mm-hmm.
and it happens to every, you know, it happens a lot. It happens a whole lot more than I think people realize. Whatever client, you know, whatever Twitter client they were using, you know, they just posted it to the wrong account. And so, you know, so some people as a result say, oh, you should never mix the two, you know. And so, you know, I think there's certainly a lot of discussion to be had around that. You know, I think we're all human, and if we're looking, you know, for transparency here, we're looking, you know, to be transparent, I think we need to realize that people are going to make mistakes. At the same time, if you look at some of the tweets, like we talked about the Chrysler tweet in, you know, in the book. And so if that person, if that's really what they said and that's really what they meant, but they were going to do it from their personal account, well, and they work for that brand, it's hard to separate the two. And you think, well, yeah, that person, he posted it to the wrong account. But even if he said that from his personal account,
mm-hmm.
that person works for that company. And if they're, you know, part of that company and that's really what they said and really what they meant, I have to judge that person as part of the brand, you know, ultimately. So it really doesn't matter what account he posted it from. That's kind of the way I look at it. And so I think at some point, I think these lines are going to continue to get blurred over time here. Hopefully people get better with the software to do these things. And certainly, hey, I've done it plenty of times, but Hootsuite is actually really good now. I especially my Hootsuite client on my new Samsung Galaxy S3, my Android 4G with Verizon, which I really love, that is really, I mean, it's kind of dead simple to not mess up managing personal or multiple accounts. So I'll ask you guys, what's your take on the whole brand visual discussion?
Wait a second. Who said the guest could ask us questions?
Oh, just turn the tables on you.
The table's going back to the host. But, you know, BJ, I do have to agree with you, and I think it's a hard line. You know, we all try to set our personalities, and that online personality is who you are. And sometimes you try to make LinkedIn a little bit different than Facebook and Twitter and whatnot, but it's still that person. It's still that character. It's still, you know, their beliefs and their philosophies. And I agree with you that, you know, whoops, you make a mistake when you tweet it, and you tweeted it under the wrong profile. But that's still you. You're representing that brand, whether you're representing it as Social Geek Radio or Deb Evans or AK Stout. There's a brand presence that needs to be protected, and it comes to the individuals. And that's where I think when you've got multiple people tweeting for one account or one profile, but they have different types of voices, I think it gets a little confusing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that for the people, especially for that exact example where people do have multiple people tweeting under the same account, I think it's really helpful when they do the method where they put the little carrot and they put their initials. Mm-hmm. So it's blatantly clear that it's multiple people talking, especially if you're engaging in conversations with people. You know, if there's five people managing one Twitter account and somebody's talking, you know, you don't know who responded or if you should jump in and that kind of thing. So I think that's really important But sort of on the topic in general, and on with you guys, I think if you, you know, if you work for a company and you handle the social media, I think you should really only be handling the social media for that company if you feel passionately about that company. I think that's the only way your social media is going to have any chance of being effective and sounding authentic, because your passion for that business or that brand is going to come through in your language and the images you select.
Well, couldn't you say the same thing about just working for that company?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, but you know, a lot of people take their jobs, but you wouldn't put them on the front line doing social media then necessarily. So I think it's an important role that you take on. You know, you're not just doing rote, okay, I'm posting to Facebook, I'm posting to Twitter. I think it takes a special person to really represent that company. And I think being the forward face of that company, even though their forward face might be the company name and the logo, I think they do need to carry that through with them, you know, to the other aspects of their other social accounts. Now, I meet with a lot of people in Baltimore who manage the social media accounts, and they're very closely tied with sort of what they tweet on their personal accounts and what they tweet on their business accounts. It often overlaps, but they sort of always maintain that sense of professionalism. And I think if you're going to be out there like that, you have to be professional. But what do I know?
You know a lot. I think you're very good. Now, Laurie's in the chat, and she made a very good point, you know, which contradicts a little bit of what I just said. You know, if you've got a brand or a company that's just really, really small, and I'm talking like two or three people, and their philosophies are so close, and as she points out, so freakishly close, and that, you know, you really are of almost of one mind, and you share that account, then that voice is the same. It's very similar. And that message is going to be consistent. But I've come across brands that I'll see on Facebook sometimes and Twitter that the message is like, whoa, is this the same brand? You know, I think I'm looking at the wrong account because the voice is so different.
Yeah.
So it gets a little confusing. But BJ, there's a question I have for you that's really something I've talked about here on the show, but you haven't been here to defend yourself. So in Chapter 3, when you go behind – I hear AK giggling. When you go behind the brands, you know, I love the chapter. I'm in the chapter. That's really great. But when you subtitle it, Old Dogs and New Tricks.
Yep.
You seriously were not calling me an old dog, were you?
Oh, are you in that segment there?
How about that? Like right after that title.
Oh.
I've had many a person point that out, just thinking that's pretty funny. But I'm not taking it personally.
Really, that's not taking it personally?
No.
Well.
It was quite humor. I wish you would have seen me when I opened the book and I read that and I went, oh, looky there. The social savvy grandma. That's great. I love that. But I'm right under Old Dogs and New Tricks. So I'm pretty good. I just had to call you out.
I really don't know what to say there, except that
you should have it.
We try to create some catchy phrases, you know, for the headline of the segment or whatever, and that one just seemed to fit. So yeah, don't take it personally.
Yeah, it was accidental that you made it into that chapter, Jen.
Just have it.
I believe there was some others in there with you though.
There is.
I believe. Yeah. And so we actually had. just about everyone here at the corporate office is actually in the book in one way or another. And then we have, you know, franchisees. We have a lot of customers, about 80 different people involved with this book. And so a lot of interviews, a lot of discussions, and some great content as a result. And you're certainly one of the contributors.
I just had a question on that. Let me ask you, how long did it actually take you to write this? I mean, I think I remember when you first told me you were going to start writing the book, one of those great secrets that you shared with me, and I didn't tell anybody. It was a long time. You guys really worked on this for over a year, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably a better part of 2 years at least. And so, I mean, it started out kind of slow, and then we had some initial discussions. Jim, of course, has written some other books. So he had relationships with literary agents and publishers. But once we kind of carved out what that was going to look like, then it really started to we really started to get organized on putting it together. And so, you know, and doing interviews and creating, you know, and writing stuff. And we would sat down. We sat down for many hours and recorded different sessions and got that transcribed and then put a lot of it into the book, of course. So, and then once we got done, it was kind of weird because I was so used to doing interviews and creating stuff. And since then, I have actually written a number of blog posts on several different sites. And actually, a lot of the blog post content has been really, really good. And some of which we took, you know, excerpts out of the book and then kind of built on that and kind of updated it. And so some of we've had some great reviews as well. So resonating with a lot of people, you know, and so yeah, it's been a really fun project. But certainly promoting it, as they say, is much more difficult than actually writing it. But yeah, just a fun process. Toward the end there, we got a little more efficient with it. At first, it was just a big mess. But yeah, like 58,000 words, 11 chapters, about 80 interviews. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's a lot of content. And I know you were working really hard for a long time. So you're on the great book tour now. Well, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't assume that because you have a lot of speaking engagements coming up. Your topics, a lot of it is coming from the book, I guess, the content. But is this really a book tour, or are these just speaking engagements and it happens to overlap with the coming out of the book?
Yeah, the latter. So so in 2011, I did did some 24 speaking engagements. This year, I'll probably do probably close to 30. And so a lot of those relationships and conferences had already been lined up. But now the book becomes part of all of those. And so some of them are buying books, giving them away. We have a big one coming up here in New York next month where we're actually trying to get a bookseller to come in and sell books. So, lots of opportunities to include the book now in the talks, and certainly that's become part of it, and it's nice to have, you know, that to give away. So actually here in the next, starting tomorrow, at our annual conference for Tasty Delight and Planet Smoothie, we actually had a sponsor buy books for all of the attendees. And then we're going to be putting those in the hands of the franchisees, of course, which, if you think about it, is kind of a nice manual to hand them. So we're really excited about that. But lots of exciting things coming up. And, again, the book has become part of it. One of the funny stories that I tell in the book is one that I've been telling for a long time, the Empire State Building story with Rick here. It's on chapter 5, I think it is, titled Don't Be Boring and Other Thoughts on Relevance. So I was telling this story about Rick and our interaction with him at the Empire State Building, and his cousin was in the audience, which I thought was kind of funny. So, lots of great...
Tell the story.
Great discussions.
Whole story.
Oh. I have actually some newer ones.
Okay.
But I'll tell this one again. But you have to come to my talks to hear those. So.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so we'll have to... So, Laurie, I know she's in the chat and she's listening. We might have to go to Dallas to watch BJ, which is coming up in November, I believe.
In where? I'm sorry?
Aren't you going to be in Dallas?
In a couple weeks here at the Loyalty Expo.
Right.
The Loyalty 360 Expo, Engagement Expo.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be fun. So Lori says I should blame Jim for the old dog thing.
I saw that.
Anyway, so here, the story goes, so we had a location in the Empire State Building, and we were trying to reach people in the building. Long story, because I won't go into all the details, but just got on Twitter and lots of course, fans in New York and people on Twitter, and this had to be 2009, and one day this guy says that he works in the Empire State Building, and so I was searching on Twitter just for Empire State, right, just like you normally would to find your customers to target them, you know. And so perhaps a little proactive, stalkerish, if you will. But again, if you know your customers and you do it right, you're going to get a good result. So I did some quote-unquote research on this guy named Rick and found out, you know, his blog, found out where he worked, you know, and all this is out there. It's all public. And so I sent him a message on Twitter, and I sent him a link to a buy one, get one free coupon. I said, hey, I love your blog. Put a link to his blog. And then I said, stop by downstairs and bring a friend. So it's buy one, get one free coupon. So he actually comes downstairs, and I see that he, because of the link, the URL shortener that I used, which is Bitly, I was able to see that like four people had clicked on the link. And then I was able to see, because I pushed down a button to the point of sale system, to the cash register, for this particular coupon code that I had created for this guy, and saw that somebody used it. So I had a cash register receipt, you know, that a report that I had access to. And so he comes down, and then later he comes back and says, oh, thanks. Well, first of all, he said, you rock, got some big Tasty Light fans in our office, which, to be fair, you could throw a rock in Manhattan and hit a Tasty Light fan. And so so we had a little interaction there. And so I called up the location, and I said, look, here's his address. Just take up a bunch of Tasty Light to his office and just thank him for coming down and you know, just give it to all the ladies in his office. Okay, so here's the thing. If you give a bunch of ladies Tasty Light and you're the reason why they got the Tasty Light, you're like the hero, okay? And so this is what we did to this guy. And so so everybody's asking him, he had to tell the story like 10 times, you know, how he got all this free Tasty Light for all the girls in the office. And, you know, again, they went up and he didn't tell me where he worked. We just went and found him. And so then he gets on his blog. And, of course, they all got on Twitter thanking us. And then he gets on his blog and is saying how great an interaction he had. And then he had a face to go with the Twitter handle and that sort of thing. I met him a couple weeks after that, and now he actually works for a marketing firm in Manhattan on Madison Avenue now. His name's Rick, and great guy, but that's our Empire State Building story.
Cool. And you're going to have to look up Rick for AK and for myself so that he can meet us at Tasty on October 21st and do the Charity Miles Walk with us.
No, see? He's a busy guy.
He's a busy guy. He's giving free Tasty Light to everybody.
We don't care if he's busy. This is very important.
This is very important. He has to meet us there.
Drop everything. We're supposed to be like 200 people there all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But you know who I got to meet last week who does that really well in Chicago? Is our friend Ramon de Leon.
Know, I was so jealous. I mean, could you read the sarcasm when I was retweeting? Wow, great for you. There was sarcasm in that because Ramon de Leon he's so cool. He's such a great speaker and such a really nice person, I think, in person, and there you are. You got to see him again. So jealous.
Yeah, he does it really, really well. He has like 7 locations. He gets to interact like daily. He does stuff like that, and just over the top, crazy things. Creates a ton of buzz online, a lot of loyalty, and people love him. He's got his own hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a brand individual.
Yeah, yeah. No, he is the top. There's a whole blog post right there, yeah. And I know he travels a lot. I can't even imagine what his speaking engagement looks like because when I was trying to catch him for Fran Camp, he was coming back from Australia and getting ready to go to Ireland or wherever it was. So he is quite the busy one. AK, what other burning questions do we have for BJ?
Well, there's another point that I really liked in the book, and I think it's important whether we have a discussion about it or not, just for everybody to hear. And it says, if customers know a business is actively listening on a social network, they are more likely to mention their experience with the product. And I just have to say, before I shut up and let BJ talk, that I totally agree with that because before I go to mention anybody specifically on Twitter, I look to see if they have a Twitter handle so that I can mention them if I'm going to say something, whether it's negative or positive. And then, you know, if it looks like they haven't tweeted since May or that they never respond to people and they're just posting out their information, then I say, you know, well, if it's something negative, I'll probably say it anyway. But if it's something positive, I figure, you know, well, you're not putting forth an effort to listen to people, so I'm not going to go out of my way to mention you.
Yep. Yep. So definitely, you know, when they know you're there and they, you know, use the, you know, instead of just using your brand name, you know, they actually use your handle on Twitter, kind of like tagging them on Facebook, I suppose. You know, I think you're just going to have a better result all the way around, especially if it's positive. I mean, because if it's negative, you're going to hear it right away. If it's positive, you know, others are going to learn about you as well. So that works, I think, both ways.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So, BJ, why don't you, I'm sure everybody that's listening knows how to reach you, but why don't you give them the sites of where they can find the book and where they can engage with you, and then maybe your next couple speaking engagements in case they want to, or the link that you have for where you list all your speaking engagements.
Good question. So the book is thetastytolightway.com, and so lots of great stuff there. You check out the Buzz page, lots of great reviews, and different information on there. There's a little video as well. But my personal blog, which is, I'm a horrible blogger, is bjemerson.com. And so right on the top of bjemerson.com, you can go to 2012 speaking calendar, I think it is. And so there you'll see several more here coming up. And one of them is actually next week in New York on the 17th. Influencer Marketing Summit. It's like a half-day BDI event is the name of the company that does that. Boston Social Media Strategy Summit. Then late in October, Loyalty 360 Engagement Expo. That one's going to be a lot of fun. So there I'm doing the fine line between creepy and creative customer service.
Yes, and that video that you did for that is on the Social Geek Radio Facebook page, and everybody needs to go check that out.
And in case you're wondering how I did that, it was through Paper Camera, the app called Paper Camera. Then Street Fight Summit, VSR event in New York, and then again in New York, November 6th through 8th. That's going to be a big one, Consumer Engagement Technology World at the Javits Center.
That should be a good one. That's going to be a big one. The one in New York. Terrific. Hey, Kay.
Hi.
You're going to do a, we're going to be geeking it out here in a minute. We're going to make, hold BJ hostage. He might have a geek it out for us.
All right. Sounds good.
Good. Well, we got to do it with a song. Hold on. Got to do it with a song.
All right. So the first one I have. All right, I'll do the one that I know Deb's going to love so much. I can just pass. It's called rewindy.com, rewindy.com. I'll put that in the chat box here. And it's really simple. At the very bottom of the page, it explains exactly what you do, but I will read it to you. And you upload photos, whether it's from a trip or an event or what have you, and then you add text, which adds a nice little text overlay over the pictures. And then you have a nice little slideshow with words explaining your pictures, and then you're done. and you can share it to Twitter or Facebook or email it or whatever the heck you want to do with it.
Oh, yes. You know I will like this one. It'll be on my Facebook page later tonight.
Yep. So I definitely want to play with this. I should have used this for the Grand Prix, but I did that video, which was good, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. Well, then we'll have to promise everybody that I'll take lots of pictures of BJ next week.
Yeah.
So, BJ, we're going to rewind you.
Yeah, we can do a rewind
to pull,
even in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull the site up here. And
did you crash it?
No, it's just not. Well,
if Dana were here, he'd be yelling. I've got it, rewindy, rewindy.com. Add story to photos. I'm just holding on to that one.
Hmm.
And you can see samples.
It doesn't
too.
Like that Samsung. That's what it is, AK.
Oh, yeah.
That one he was just doing a personal commercial for. Is that what you're using, BJ, and it's not working?
No, just using Chrome here.
He's lying.
just using Chrome here.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's also cool on the site because I think it archives them. I don't know when you create it if you have the option of making it public or private. But you can see ones that other people have done, too. And a lot of them are really cool travel pictures, so it's fun to look through the site and see people's photos and their descriptions.
Yeah.
So that's that one. The next one is called speak.com, speek.com. And
that one.
I love this site. It's so simple, but it has so many great features to it. And the premise of it is it's sort of a conference call line, except you don't have a phone number or anything to give out. You have a URL to give out. So, for example, mine is speak.com/AKStat18. So if I wanted to invite you to a call, I could just send you that URL, or you can invite people through text message or email, what have you. And you go to that site, and you put in your phone number, and the system calls you. And once you answer, you're connected to everybody else who's on the call. But it's really cool. You can set up a little profile there, which puts your Facebook, your Twitter, your LinkedIn, and your Google Plus little buttons above your face. So people that you're on the call with, if you had set up a profile, they could connect with you on the social channels. You can add and share files. So it's free. It's completely free. It's just really super simple way to do a conference call.
And you can also, when I tested it today, when I got that email from you that said, you know, to call the number, I used my voiceover. I used Skype. So instead of it calling me, I said, no, just go ahead and use my computer. And it connected me right away. It was really cool. So between that and Live Minutes, I think you've got two great conference services there.
Yeah, I mean, Live Minutes is great for the recording of the minutes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
This is just for a simple...
Right.
It's called just to swap files, but you don't actually get to see what's on the files. You would just be sort of sharing them. But that's that. Let's see. The next one I have, this is in place of our app of the week this week because this has lots of different apps for you to check out. This one's called oomph.com, which is OOOMF.com. I'll put that in the chat. OOOMF.com. And
geeks are sexy.
This one, you can do a whole bunch of different things. You can actually, if you're developing an app, you can create a landing page for your app, which is really simple. But if you go to the Discover tab at the top, you can look at collections and you can look at coming soon. So you can see what people are doing and what apps they're building, and you can say you want that.
Oh.
And so when it's ready, and then the collections have some that have been built on the site that are already available. So you can look it up by category. And I think the aesthetics of the site are really appealing. It looks very nice, and it's easy to see what you'd like to find out more about.
Cool.
That is very cool.
And I'm forgetting to pin these or tweet them. BJ, you said you have a Geek It Out?
But just to comment on this one first, I like going on like Elance.com or what was the other one? You know, some of these freelance sites, and they have where they list the projects and people bid on them. I just like reading the projects.
Mm-hmm.
I just like looking at the projects. Those are kind of cool. Figuring out what people are trying to build, or like somebody wants to like copy eBay, right? And they want someone to do that for them. You know, But anyway, so I have one, but it really doesn't have anything to do with your computer. So here, take you out your phone and go to your text messaging screen there. And you're going to create a text message. And the phone number, the number that you're going to text to is 81018. Okay, 81018. And the message, you're just going to put in my name, BJ Emerson, no spaces or anything. You just put in BJ Emerson and text that to 81018.
Great.
Standard messaging rates apply.
All right. So now what's going to happen?
Oh,
I don't know.
Cool.
You can tell
me.
Neat. So what happened?
I came up with your name and your title and contact information.
So during a presentation, I can put this on the screen, and all they have to do is text, and they have all my stuff right there. Pretty cool, huh?
Well, how do we get
that number? Yeah, how do you get the number?
That part I can't tell you.
Oh no, no. He wants this to go into our presentation. So here you go, everybody. Text 81, and BJ's information comes up.
No,
yeah,
we have
the worst
secret
ever.
Hey, I'm here to help. I'm here to help, really.
Now I'm just mad.
He's calling us old dogs again.
Anyway, moving on.
I would tell you, but you wouldn't understand.
Oh, okay. Is there
he's
a button on that line, Deb?
He got us both tonight. Couldn't.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, so... I think we should end our introduction.
We have 3 minutes yet.
Well, what we need to do is we need to tell people that we are redoing the Charity Miles interview with Jean tomorrow. Was it 4 o'clock Eastern?
4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central. So due to the technical difficulties we had last week, that was just a practice run. And actually, AK, I think we had more live listeners with that show last week that wasn't archived than we have in all our shows. So we're going to introduce Jean, and I really, really love the video that Jean did with his grandfather explaining what Charity Miles is and why he got started. So that's on the Social Geek Radio Facebook page. But yes, we're going to talk to Jean and then talk about the Walk with a Friend in New York and how it came about and how people can walk with us, whether they're in New York or in Paris or North Carolina, Texas, wherever they might be. They can go ahead and they can join us.
Awesome. And we're okay, now that we do have time, I will do one more Geek It Out. I just didn't want to forget that part.
Yes.
But I have a very short and sweet one, which is actually the one you sent me this week, which is called awesomescreenshot.com. And Awesome Screenshot, I believe it goes into your browser, Chrome, Firefox, and Safari, it looks like. And it's just a really simple, free way to take screenshots and annotate them. It looks like there's some maybe social sharing features on here. But you can do all the typical things of circling and drawing arrows and selecting portions of the page and cropping and all sorts of fun stuff there. So a nice little browser extension for you.
Yep, I like it. Very good. Up. And there's our lovely operator who's reminding us it's about time to go. So, BJ, thank you very much for joining us again, even though you're always... and everybody should pick up the book. AK is absolutely right. It is a page-turner. It really is. You did an excellent job, you and Jim, with that. I'm sure was a lot of work involved, but we like it. We like it a lot. So
well,
I will
thank
see
you very
next,
much for having me.
Yep, I will see you next Wednesday, and hopefully all of our guests come back tomorrow, 3 o'clock Central, 4 o'clock Eastern, and we'll talk to At Charity Miles. And download that At Charity Miles app and start walking. They have new charities added, at least one that was added last night.
Sounds good. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you.
Mother. what you see on your screen. You can crop any portion.